word today, and it's from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, and reading from verse 14. Joshua renews the covenant with the people at Shechem. Joshua is speaking, and he says this: "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them the decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance. Let's pray together, shall we? If the PowerPoint could come up while we pray, that would be great. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray as we look into it now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we might see and hear and encounter your living word, even our Saviour Christ. For his name's sake, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Choice is the watchword of the age, isn't it? When I were a lad, which of course is the mid-90s, not too long ago, I did some met some people to talk about their wedding, and they gave me their date of birth. And one of them was born in like 1993, and I was thinking that was just like yesterday, wasn't it? But it can't be old enough. Anyway, we digress. But you know, in the olden days, you used to be able to go into a supermarket and you'd go to the canned vegetable aisle and let's say you wanted some baked beans. And you might have Heinz baked beans or another well-known brand. And then you might have supermarket own brand baked beans. And you could choose maybe one or the two. Now, if you go to the baked bean aisle, allegedly, you can find all sorts of low-sodium baked beans, low-salt baked beans in tomato sauce, baked beans in tomato sauce with a bit of added pepper or curry sauce, whatever added, baked beans that are in big tins, small tins, baked beans with sausages in, baked beans with spaghetti as well, baked beans with no sausages, blah, 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 blah. And so you go on, and there is an incredible amount of choice. We know even in the arena of kind of healthcare, you go to the NHS, you ask them, you give your symptoms, they diagnose something, and they say, right, it's your choice. This is the course of action that we could take. It's up to you to choose what you want. Sometimes we're grateful for that, sometimes we're not. Choice is the watchword of the age. If we don't fancy what's on BBC One, then we just go 2, 3, or Channel 300, or 600, or whatever it is, depending on how wealthy you are and how much money you waste on Sky Q each month. Anyway, but that's, you know, between you and the Lord. Far be it from me to condemn you from the pulpit. But if we have one, I would. But the point is, you know, choice is seen as this great thing. And on the whole, it is. I mean, who wants to live in a society where we're told you must have baked beans that are like this, and everyone must have the same? But the problem, when we take that to the kind of nth degree, is that choice always sets us at the centre. And it always sets us as king or queen over our destiny. It always sets us in the middle. We choose what feels good for us, what suits us. It's all about us, rather than to submitting to something that is given to us. Now, Joshua gives the people a choice in this text. And it's a choice that is far more important than which baked beans you have or which TV channel you watch. It is a choice that has profound consequences. Who is it that the people will serve? Who is it that they are pledged to? Is it the false gods of their ancestors, or is it Yahweh, the Lord of all the earth? And it seems that Joshua is all too aware that he who has led the people for a generation will soon be exiting the stage. And so it matters to him that Israel is really clear that their loyalty is not to an individual leader that is here today, gone tomorrow, but that their loyalty and their allegiance, above all, is to the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So no matter who it is that's on the ground directing tactics, the people, in Joshua's mind, need to be wedded to the Lord. And so Joshua says, you need to fear the Lord, and you need to serve him. And actually, in our covenant prayer, which we'll make in a moment, that's the fundamental ethos. Those are the things that underpin that. We fear, we revere the Lord. We understand, again, that it is him that is sovereign. It is him that rules over all. It is him that makes choices about our lives in accordance with his good pleasure and good intention. And then, so we fear him, but we serve him. We say, yeah, Lord, you know, put me to what you will. I will go where you send me. I guess for some of us, this sense of entrusting our lives into the hands of a sovereign God, saying, Lord, I fear you, I trust you, here you are, here is my life, to do as you please, really hits home at the moment. Might be that you're thinking of the next year ahead, 2017, and you're wondering how things are going to play out with your health. Maybe you're at work and you know that there are redundancies on the horizon. There are job cuts coming up and you're thinking, I have no idea where I'm going to be this time next year. Maybe things are going a bit skew-if in your family and you're thinking, you know, I'm all right to kind of make these kind of commitment now, but I just don't know what's going to happen come June, July, or a few months down the line. People are in a similar situation. They've conquered a lot of Canaan. They're in the promised land, but they've still got more to grasp. They don't know whether they'll realize all that God had for them or whether they'll be struck back. But what does fearing the Lord and serving him mean for the people of this text? Well, it means getting rid for them of the Canaanite gods that they've become so attached to. See, the Lord has been clear and consistent in his commands to Moses that the people are to have nothing that rivals the Lord. Yet they struggle to shake off the things of their culture, the local gods of the Near East. They struggle to get rid of them and to wholeheartedly serve the Lord. And what they need to understand, says Joshua, is that the Lord comes first. In other words, it's Yahweh or the highway. See, I like that one. Took me hours to copy that out of a book. It's God's way or no way. And for us, it may not be that the gods that we've become attached to are statues and wood carvings. Don't see many of them around in people's homes, thankfully. The odd bust of Wesley now and again, but that's another matter. But anything that distracts us or competes for God's place in our affection is an idol. It's something that needs throwing away and giving up. Jesus is either Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. I don't know what an idol might be for you, but anything that turns our gaze from serving God wholeheartedly needs to be put away. And fundamentally, the question being asked of the people and the question being asked of you today is, what really matters most? What is the first of your heart? And so today you've got a choice, just as the people of Israel did. In a few moments' time, we will renew our covenant with God. We affirm again his sovereignty over our lives, his lordship over our lives, his dominion. And we affirm that we belong not to ourselves, but to him. And that out of reverence, out of fear of him, we pledge ourselves to serve him as and where he would place us. And so the choice you have today is, will you serve the Lord? Will you commit yourself again to whatever it is he has in store for you this year? Whether it feels good or not, knowing that his good sovereign will is always for our best. Why should you make such a commitment? Because God never, ever asks you to do something he was never prepared to do himself. So the one who asks for our commitment is the one that has already shown his great commitment to you and me. So in the text, the people themselves begin to recall all the benefits that there are of belonging to the Lord. And they recount how God has fulfilled his covenant promises to the people. He's brought them salvation out of slavery and oppression in Egypt into a new land. The people commit to serving God because he has first served them and acted for them on their behalf. And folks, we are in a similar place. We seal the covenant that we make with God by eating bread and drinking wine. It is a reminder to us of all that God has done for us. It's a reminder that all that God has done in reaching out to us in countless ways, principally and finally in his Son, Jesus Christ. God has stepped into our domain. He has rolled up his sleeves and got stuck in the mess and the muddle of the earth, got stuck in the mess and the muddle of our lives, seeking to renew the earth and renew us from the inside out. And God proved his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still far off, while we were still messed up, he would go to extreme lengths and die on the cross to show us how worthy we were and are. And forever will be. And in God's great power, the one who died on the cross is risen again to display to each and every one of us and to the entire world that new life has arrived. Forgiveness is here. Freedom is here. Grace is here. Shame is gone. Sin is gone. Guilt is gone. And all of the resources of God are offered to us. And still today, though he is risen and ascended, he prays for us, pleads for us, and pours out his Spirit upon us. You see, in the gospel we see the great extent of God's commitment to us, to each and every one of us. that he wouldn't just give us up, but would come in our pursuit. And folks, today, if you have not yet committed yourself to him, all is not lost. He is still today in your pursuit. The sheep that has wandered away, he longs to bring back home. And so we come to make our covenant commitment to the God whose name is great and whose heart is kind. As Paul wrote, in view of God's mercy, we offer ourselves to God as living sacrifices. In other words, when we see again the mercy and kindness of God, we commit our lives to him, to fear him, to acknowledge him, to be number one, Lord of all, and therefore to serve wherever he would please. And then lastly, there's choice, there's God's commitment to us, and there's our end of this covenant. My clicker has packed up, which bodes well for the rest of the morning. Thank you very much. Okay. Joshua has been among these people a long time, and he has led them a fair bit. And so he knows that the people have got a great propensity for making really big, great commitments and then getting nowhere. So Joshua not only renews the covenant, but he writes it down. And as so often happens in the days of our forefathers, a stone is set in the ground as a reminder of what has been done and agreed. Now, I haven't got a big stone that I could set up here this morning. I couldn't find one. Apparently the Labour Party's got one left over from the last election, which we could have borrowed, but I couldn't get hold of that. And I also thought it would kind of rather get in the way. So we've not got a big stone as a reminder that we're about to make a great commitment, but actually we have got what else is in the passage, which is one another. So we don't make this covenant or this commitment in isolation. We make it in community. With God's people. So actually, you are witnesses against each other, or for each other, to each other, that we are committing ourselves again to the Lord. We do it individually, but we do it in the presence of the whole. So that we have witnesses who just help us hold to what we commit. The people themselves in the passage are witnesses. They're witnesses against each other of a desire and a commitment to serve the Lord before anything or anyone else. Each person is responsible for holding the others to account so that when we make our covenant in a moment, we don't do it in isolation. We do so in the community of the church as one people. Can you click on, please, Jeff? Journeying together. Thank you. Our vision, our commitment to God and to each other is that we will be a people living like Jesus, reaching out with God's hope and love. In our covenant prayer, yeah, we're dealing with the state of our own soul primarily, and we're making our own commitment, that's true. But we're doing so in the context of the community of faith in which we are currently positioned and set. God has placed us here for a time and a purpose. So part of making our commitment today is saying, yes, Lord, I accept your commission as part of your people in this particular place. And so when we make our covenant in a moment, we don't just reaffirm our faith and the centrality of that, excuse me, but we put ourselves at the Lord's disposal, saying, in other words, Lord, I'm all in. What do you have for me here? Remember, the covenant is about fearing the Lord and serving him. It's about doing what God would have us do. Living a righteous life, seeking to honor the Father above all else. Living like Jesus. Being totally given over to him with all other things secondary. The covenant is about service. It's about putting ourselves at God's disposal, being willing to go wherever God sends us, reaching out with God's hope and love in the places that we are set. And folks, there's some exciting things coming up in the months ahead, and it'd be great to have you on board. We are continuing to think still about church planting and the whole area of reaching out more purposely to our local community. We've got socials coming. I mentioned that the talent evening. We've got a newcomers lunch on the 22nd of January. I think that's 2 weeks today. We've got a new members evening on the last day of January. We've got our pancake outreach night, our holiday club. We've got the marriage course coming up this term. And those are just the extra things, by the way, not to mention the stuff that goes on every single week. Home groups, outreach groups, young people's ministry, the cafe, and everything else that goes on, all of it part of our efforts to help us more and more live like Jesus and reach out with God's hope and love so that our community is affected and transformed by the glory of God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come then to make our covenant, praying the prayer that Christians have prayed since the days of Wesley, you're invited to commit afresh to the life of this church too. The place where God has put you for now. And as you do, to have in mind, what is it that God has for you to get stuck in with over the next year? But ultimately, folks, the choice is yours. We're about to say some words, and they're heavy words if you take them seriously. They're big promises. So nobody should force you to say them, and let alone me. The choice is totally yours. Who is it today that you will serve? You must choose, says Joshua. Choose this day whom you will serve. I can't force you. But all I can say is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you fancy joining me, then make this prayer and get stuck in. It's so much more fun when there are other people on the journey as well. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose to throw yourself on the mercy of God. Choose to commit yourself to the one living God and no other. For he is the one who is totally and entirely, forever and eternally committed to you. Amen. Amen.